All right. Hello and welcome to the S Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture topics beginning with the letter S. I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Andrew Bullen.
Wait, hold on. Say it right.
I'm sorry, Bullen.
There you go.
Dominic Nguyen.
I am Sung Lee.
I am Chris Nguyen.
I'm Lawrence Kwan.
So today we're talking about Satoshi Kon, the recently deceased anime director. He didn't put out very many movies, but the ones he did put out were pretty good, so we're talking about those today. And we're going to start out with the regular question. What was the first Satoshi Kon movie you saw, Kevin?
Satoshi Kon, right?
Yeah.
Is it Kon?
Kon.
Oh, Kon, not Kon.
You can say Kon, I don't care.
My first one was actually from Memories, so the Magnetic Rose short, and that was before we really knew who he was. Back then it was just it looks like Ghostbusters! And that's pretty much it.
And then it's like, oh, look, Stink Bug. This kind of sucks.
Stink Bug is awful. Oh, what's the third one?
The third one is my favorite. War City or War World or something like that. The Ghibli showcase, where it was basically all about the backgrounds.
Yeah, with the little kid, right?
Yeah.
See, I've never even heard of those.
You never saw Memories?
I didn't see any of his stuff until he got big.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that available in the U.S.?
Yes, it is licensed now.
Let's check that out.
Only Magnetic Rose is worth it.
And even that's hard to say.
Yeah. All right, Andrew, what about you?
The first Satoshi Kon movie that I saw was Perfect Blue. I remember I was just over at my friend's house, and one of my friends had bought the Blu-ray of it. And, you can sort of tell that I'm...
What the hell? Wait, hold on. He said Blu-ray of it?
He said Blu-ray of it.
Yeah, this was like...
Okay, I thought he was going to say DVD, like, you know, when we were...
are you kidding me? I saw Memories on VHS.
So did I.
I did too.
So anyway, you're two formats late, Ballin.
So you can tell that, yeah, I'm a little bit late, but it was still like 5 years ago, which actually makes me feel old because I feel like, oh, Blu-ray
Shut
is
your
still
hole.
Not,
shut your hole.
Yeah, I think you're the youngest one old here, man.
Yeah.
Well, technically Sharon's the youngest one here, but she's not going to be talking.
So, yeah. And I remember I watched it while trying to cook at the same time, and I don't think that actually did make it more confusing. It was sort of just, it's that kind of movie.
Did you accidentally stab yourself in the crotch with an ice pick?
I did not, fortunately. I might have come close to accidentally doing it with a chef's knife or something, but...
That's fair enough. All right, Sung?
It's possible I saw something before Memories, but I don't really know all of his work, so...
Memories was pretty much his debut as a writer.
Okay, then it's going to be Memories, the Magnetic Rose. And I just remember watching that, one particular music video a lot, to the Phantom of the Opera.
Kevin Caldwell
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the Kevin Caldwell one. Yeah.
Okay.
Mine was also Perfect Blue. I forgot the context I saw it, but I think just picked up, rented it, and I've been looking for his stuff ever since.
See, I saw it on DVD back in high school. Way back. Back then, it really messed with your mind.
Perfect Blue, you mean?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, Perfect Blue is pretty weird.
Is it? Just because, you know, things are true or may not be true, and you don't know which ones are.
Which is kind of a theme, a little bit.
Yeah, I like that theme that he carries a lot.
Yeah.
It's very...
It does seem to be something he does most of the time.
Yeah, it feels...
Except for Tokyo Godfathers, which is a weird outlier in his work.
Yeah.
That was actually one I didn't see. So as far as I'm concerned, he's the director that does all the weird mind-messing stuff.
Tokyo Godfathers was still psychological, in a sense.
It was psychological, sure, but most of the things that actually occurred in Tokyo Godfathers, you're pretty sure actually happened.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Which is pretty rare in Satoshi Kon work.
Tokyo Godfathers is sort of the high point of the other end of one of the major things that Satoshi Kon does, in that it's talking about things that Japan does not want to talk about.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, the first movie by Satoshi Kon that I saw was Memories, just like you guys. It was something that we saw as our high school anime club. We showed it there. And I remember people really reacted well to Stink Bug, and then they were like, oh, this Magnetic Rose thing is really good. And that's, you know...
Wait, how did that happen?
What?
Because Magnetic Rose plays first, and then Stink Bug.
Yeah, but then the thing was, they were like, wow, this makes Magnetic Rose seem so much better.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because then they saw the other two parts, and it's like, maybe we should just watch the Magnetic Rose part from now on. And it's really what sticks with you out of memories, really, you know?
Yeah, I just remembered, like, the whole story of the Stinking Bug.
It's a guy who smells bad.
Yes, and that's the entire short.
That is the entire short. And we don't even remember the third short in there.
I remember the art style. I don't remember what happens.
It's just
cannon fodder.
Nothing really happens. Cannon fodder, that's right.
There we go.
Thanks, Kevin. But yeah, all it is that Ghibli draws really good backgrounds, and that's it. So anyway, what did you think of his body of work, like, in general? Just give me some general impressions on it.
He's more a film director than an animation director, is the way I see him.
Definitely. He's also very consistent, which is, I feel like, a lot of directors who really stand out will deliver much more consistent work. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the opposite is true, and people who deliver consistent work, I guess, become famous.
M. Night Shyamalan's work is pretty consistent.
What are you talking about? It's so varied.
It's very consistent. It's on this very nice little slope chart.
That's not consistent. That's declining. I guess you could mean consistently declining.
There you go.
Of course.
Well, you can't deny that he's famous.
That's true, too.
He's so anyway, the question is, will he be able to go into the negative Rotten Tomato scores for his next movie?
I think he can do it. If there's anybody who can go negative.
I think he'll... No, this is the lowest he'll get. I hope.
And he's making Airbender 2, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much happening now.
I think that is the lowest he can go, isn't it? Anyway, all right, so let's go to a happier topic with a better director.
I like how nobody answered your question.
Well, no, I'm actually trying to form the answer in my mind, and I think what he did was he filled a niche in the anime market, and the niche was not trying to cater to the mainstream so much.
Definitely.
I'm trying to think, like, a lot of directors, they did kind of the mind trip thing a lot too, and there's also, like, other elements that you could see in other works, but they always try to add in something that appeals more to the mainstream. Satoshi Kon, and kind of, I think, intentionally left it out, or played it down a lot more.
Yeah, definitely, I mean, he provides kind of the type of films that, you know, it's definitely a more offbeat, and I always felt, though, that at least, you know, you may either love it or you hate it, but you definitely will feel one way or the other. It wasn't like, oh, it's kind of blah, just the way that they're written and they're presented.
Because he actually makes the films that are worth seeing as opposed to I've seen it before.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Like, what I was going to say is that he makes films that are meant to be watched as films, not as anime or as merchandising vehicles.
Wait. Anime isn't merchant. No, I'm kidding.
Kevin, do you remember growing up, we watched this Transformers thing, which was all about...
I didn't watch Transformers.
Oh, you son of a...
I watched other toy-buying shows.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's 90%, if not more, of the market is just things meant to sell toys, sell CDs, sell DVDs, etc., etc. And he made things that were meant to... show the story he wanted to show. And that made him pretty unique in the anime industry, and in a lot of cases in the film industry, too. Like, it's not that common in the film industry, right?
My question is, no, if he was in the Hollywood film industry, he wouldn't get to do very many projects, and that's kind of what I'm surprised by. His movies don't really make that much money. They don't have much mainstream appeal. Where does he get the money to fund these projects? Because it's not like he's ever broken out as a big star, as a director.
Well, the thing is that he was attached to Studio Madhouse, and they do a lot of anime production. And the thing about his movies is that an anime movie doesn't actually have to make that much to make its money back. And he was sort of their prestige director. You know, he was the one who would always make the movies that got trotted out to film festivals.
It gets him street cred, I guess. It gets them
the opposite of street cred, actually. It gets them critical credit.
That's what I meant. Yeah. And so then critical.
So are you saying that every Cardcaptor Sakura funds a Perfect Blue?
If only that were the case.
If only that were true. It's unfortunate, but, you know, it's basically like he was not that expensive to them, and they enjoyed working on it, you know?
And then in the case of Perfect Blue, at least, originally it was going to be a live-action movie, but then they didn't have budget for that, so they ended up making an anime movie instead.
Yeah, so, you know, they were actually pretty much low-budget films that did all of these things that would have cost so much. I mean, I talk about Paprika. Paprika made on a live-action budget would probably cost more than Inception did.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it is so psychedelic, and it requires so many special effects, but it's like, let's just draw this, and the budget will go down by a factor of like 100. You know?
Yeah, I find that weird, because like, when you look at his films, they don't look particularly low budget as far as animation is concerned. Like, you know, you could look at Evangelion and he goes, oh yeah, that's definitely low budget in some parts. But you could look at all of his, like, Satoshi's, Kon's films, and no particular part of it looks like they really, like, scrimped on anything.
I don't know. I think some scenes of Perfect Blue, like, I could definitely see a downgrade in quality.
Between
scenes.
Oh, okay. But that's earlier in his career. I guess they got to a point where they could streamline everything down and understand what shots they needed to do at what pace.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also digital animation has sort of come into its own over the course of his career.
I always forget digital animation.
Yeah, digital animation in the past 10 years has shot up the average quality of, like, everything.
Yeah. I was wondering, I was like, hey, people don't buy cells anymore.
I wonder why that is. I think it's because of the recession.
Recession?
What recession?
But his movies also don't use a lot of CGI either, right?
Not really. Like, they don't go crazy on computer graphics. Even when they are computer graphics, they take a lot of effort to still look like traditional animation.
Right.
And, you know, that helps just provide a cohesive look to all of them, which is great.
Well, I was just going to say that the lack of use of CGI would probably drive the budget for his movies down further and therefore make them more...
CG consumable. Doesn't cost that much anymore. You hire some kids in Australia.
Or Korea.
Yeah. I always thought that a lot of use of CGI was to actually save money on like complex moving shots and things like that.
Let me interject.
Oh.
What does the I stand for?
The I?
Computer-generated imagery.
Oh, okay.
It's either computer graphics or computer-generated imagery whenever you use CG or CGI.
Oh, I thought you were going to step in and give us some of your industry-level expertise.
Yeah,
well, if you want, I could, because CGI to me means something completely different.
What is that?
Well, it's the web scripting language, not...
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, let's that go has back nothing to what you anything. Work with, the other CGI. I guess you work with both.
Yeah, one more than the other. So. Sorry, that was a tangent.
What does the other CGI stand for?
I actually don't know.
So anyway, going back to Satoshi Kon, so we've already talked about, you know, how much you liked it and how it was different from everything else. But did you actually go and seek out Satoshi Kon's work, or did most of you just watch a few extra for this podcast? I mean, I definitely borrowed all the movies from Kevin. Kevin, you haven't even seen the movies I borrowed from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, how is Kevin qualified to be in on this?
I'm not qualified at all.
But the thing is that I watched those over the past week in order to be qualified to be on this podcast. And so it's like, I knew that his movies were good, but it was one of those things that was always on the back burner for me. And now that I've watched Paprika especially, I go, why did it take me so long?
Yeah, it was very similar for me. I mean, in part of it is just because I haven't been watching that much anime since I've been in college. But it's sort of definitely been on my top list of anime movies to see. He's one of those directors that is sort of one of the few good young directors these days.
Well, was one of the few good young directors,
unfortunately.
Yeah, he died at 47, which is before a lot of the really great directors got fully into their stride.
This is sort of a very terrible thing to say, but I was talking with one of my friends, and we were saying that, you know, if it had been Hayao Miyazaki that had died, it wouldn't have been nearly as sad for the industry as a whole, because he's got, you know, a full 25 years of making wonderful films, whereas...
And also his last about 8 years of films have kind of been ass.
That's also
for
true.
Miyazaki.
Wait, no, because like his son can take over, right?
Yes, just like with Ghetto Senki, was it? Earthsea? Yeah,
Earthsea. They finally released that here.
Yeah.
Did anyone see it?
No.
I read the book.
I watched the sci-fi miniseries.
Reading the book and watching the sci-fi miniseries is nothing like watching the anime, because Ursula K. Le Guin watched that movie and she's like, this is a good movie, but it has nothing to do with whatever I've ever written.
Wait, does it have to do with that actual Earthsea stuff?
It was supposed to.
Oh.
But oh, God, no, I'm just getting it. I get it. I see what you did there. All right, anyway. So, yeah, did you guys go back and watch the movies? Well, Chris, you said you actively sought them out and watched all of them, right?
Yeah. I mean, after I saw Perfect Blue, yeah, I was like, I wanted to see more of his stuff. So I had seen, I mean, I hadn't seen his movies recently, like reviewed them back. But, I mean, I had gone, each one that did come out, I would make sure that I somehow got to see it.
Because Chris is an active anime film watcher.
Well, he's sort getting into the film thing now, thanks to you. When he comes over to your...
No, he doesn't watch my movies. He watches his movies.
Like, you saw The Karate Kid, didn't you? The new one?
Yeah.
You know, I did see that.
What other damn thing? I was like, really?
Did you watch Buried? Did you see that this weekend?
No, I really want to see it.
Actually, I do, too.
Why would you make fun of Buried?
I have no idea, actually.
Okay.
It was, I was trying to think of modern horror movies, and they're like 90% crap once again.
What about that new Wes Craven one?
My Soul to Give.
Yeah, my Soul to Give. My Something to Rest.
That one.
That one, sure. You got to see that, aren't you?
Sure.
Didn't you see Step Up 3D?
No.
Why haven't we done our Step Up 3D
really
podcast yet? So anyway. Yeah.
Five tangent there.
Just a little bit.
Hey, what's the next topic on the Satoshi Kon podcast?
The next Satoshi Kon podcast is, so what'll happen now that he's gone to the industry in general? Like, he was the only guy that we can think of who was really stepping out of the anime box. Like, will someone try and follow in his footsteps, or is it not commercially viable enough, you think?
I'm not qualified to answer this question because I don't know what's going on with the anime industry anymore.
Exactly the same thing that's going on with the Hollywood industry, really.
Sequels?
Yes. Sequels and remakes.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what are they remaking besides the
Evangelion?
Things? Besides that?
They are doing, they're doing new GTO stuff.
Wow. What?
Really?
They're making a new Cat's Eye.
What?
What's that?
Cat's Eye is 25 years old. It's Tsukasa Hojo.
Yeah.
It's the same guy as City Hunter.
Yeah.
Isn't that a spinoff?
I don't even know. I just know they're rebooting all of these random franchises as manga first, just as a merchandise test. And if it sells well, they're going to go straight over into the movie industry and stuff. They're also remaking Macross Frontier a bunch of times. They remade Magical Girl Lyrical Nanoha.
Making movie compilations.
Movie compilations of stuff.
Oh, but they've been doing that for years.
But that's all they're doing.
Because it's cheap.
Right.
Yep, and it's making more money. It's basically, I guess, the same thing that the Americans have, which is if you reboot something, then it not only will it sell what your new thing, it'll also sell the old stuff as well.
I mean, they made a Trigun movie again recently. That was the same studio that did Satoshi Kon stuff.
I heard about that, yeah. That Madhouse actually did do that one, the second one?
I think so.
No, the only one.
The Trigun movie? I'm pretty sure it was Madhouse also.
Yeah, and other than that, there's pretty much just Mamoru Hosoda and Mamoru Oshii who are making original movies. I don't know. I personally like Mamoru Hosoda's stuff he's done.
Who is this?
He's the guy who did The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
Oh,
and,
I saw that. That was great.
You're actually not being sarcastic, right? You did see it. Okay. Just checking.
I can vouch for him. I was here.
Okay. So that was actually good. Okay.
And that's more sort of in a traditional anime vein. It's more sort of family movies, unlike what Satoshi Kon makes, which are definitely not family movies.
Could be.
If your family is comprised of adults.
I don't know about your family.
But I watch the crotch stabbings
like
all the time.
Thanksgiving tradition.
It's a crotch-stabbingly good guy.
just like how Grave of the Fireflies is great when it's great to watch right before finals.
Right after watching Totoro.
Grave of the Fireflies is always a good time. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
It is a really great movie for anyone who has not seen it. It's just very depressing.
Thanks for the explanation, Mr. Nguyen.
Everybody has to say it's so depressing. I'm just like, oh, I saw it, and yeah, it was very somber. But then people are like, it's depressing. It makes you want to die. I'm like,
I didn't say it makes you want to die. It's just depressing.
I've heard that. Like, okay.
But it's definitely not a family movie. But yeah, so we won't be able to see these kind of movies again for a very long time.
Grave of the Fireflies is all about family.
Yes.
It is.
And the bomb. That kind of is important into the family part.
It is a movie about a family.
After the bomb,
I don't know if it's a family movie.
Kind of like how the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is about a family too, right?
It is actually all about family.
Exactly.
It truly is. It's also about Thanksgiving.
Yes. Oh my God, that's true.
Yeah. Have you never watched that?
I've watched a bit of it. It's like, oh man.
It's been a very long time since I've seen that movie.
How did we get talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre again? Oh, right, me. Damn it.
I don't know how we got here. I used to track these things.
Yeah. So anyway. So we're not going to see these kind of movies again, which leads to the last topic, which is his last movie. It's unfinished at the moment. It's scheduled for 2011 release. Barely anyone knows anything about it other than the few screenshots, and that is called The Dreaming Machine.
So I have to go back to your last question, where you say that you don't think anyone else is going to pick up this. When you say that, you mean in terms of Japanese animation, right?
In terms of Japanese animation. Yeah, okay. In terms of filmmaking in general, sure. There will be people who will always take, indie budgets and make these kind of movies that fit with an artistic vision instead of a merchandise plan, instead of a marketing plan. But, this guy was one of the people in an industry that is known for mega merchandising. And he took that and turned it on its head and he said, screw you guys, I have this story in my head and it's gonna come out the way I want it to. And he found the right people to make that a reality. And I don't think that that's going to happen again in the anime industry, especially for a very long time. I mean, can you disagree with that?
Probably not.
I'd hope that someone would be like, oh, someone needs to fill this void. But yeah, I mean, with how the industry is suffering right now, it would probably be safer from a financial standpoint to create stuff that would be appealing to the mass audience, which is unfortunate.
I mean, thinking about Chris Nolan, who's the most prominent guy who did that kind of thing, where he says, screw you guys, I'm going to be making the movie the way I want to. He had to go through like 10 years of apprenticeship making blockbusters, right? Well, not
Wait,
10.
What?
Chris Nolan, Inception.
When did he do that?
Inception was only made after he proved that he can make like two gigantic blockbusters.
You mean the Batman movies?
The Batman movies.
Well, and doesn't he sort of have an agreement that like, if you give me one movie where I can do whatever I want, I'll give you one blockbuster?
Oh, I don't know if he's signed to that. I know that Paul Greengrass was signed to that, and that's how we got Green Zone. But I'm sure there's an arrangement with Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
he got Inception greenlit was because of Dark Knight.
Yeah. I thought that was a part of the agreement that he was going to do another Batman movie, but he wanted to do Inception first, and he wanted them to actually finance it. So he's saying like, I'll do the next movie, but fund this movie. And then I'll do it.
Smart negotiator.
Hopefully the success of Inception will allow him to continue making movies that are just sort of what he wants to do.
He doesn't have to worry about that anymore. He's reached a James Cameron kind of level.
Yeah, he's producing the new Superman movie, so.
Nolan is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear about that one.
They're talking with directors right now.
Warner Brothers is very, very smartly also putting a lot of faith in his choices.
Yeah.
But also Chris Nolan has some things that he could slip up on.
But it's basically that kind of thing is Chris Nolan is one of the only people we can think of who has that kind of arrangement, other than you said Paul Greengrass.
Well, that arrangement's gone.
Okay.
Green Zone bombs.
Yeah. But it's
he
like
told them we're not making Bourne 4.
So that one's gone. Universal's stupid right now anyways.
But, that kind of arrangement is really rare, where a director can tell people, this is my vision, and it's going to go through the way I want it to.
Oh, it's very rare.
Yeah.
You got to follow the money.
Yeah.
That's the time.
You guys said it yourself, though. Like, animation is a lot cheaper nowadays, so...
But on the other hand...
The U.S. audience doesn't like watching animation unless it's a particular type of animation.
Yeah.
Which is very... and also, those are very expensive to make.
Not if you put owls in it.
And also, there's just less money to go around nowadays. Because, like, before, I mean, the American industry, like, they can afford to license all this stuff now, and now they can't. Mm. And especially, it's like, a lot of the companies have, like, gone to the tank now.
Yeah, I mean, and especially the only reason a lot of the sort of very weird stuff got created in the 80s was because, you know, Japan was riding high on top of its bubble economy, and these studios had just sort of money to throw around at projects, and in the end, they ended up wasting a lot of it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Remember when you could watch Slam Dunk, an entire game was like 20 episodes, and the amount of time it took to watch that whole game, you could have watched several real basketball games?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's still the case. So the Dreaming Machine next year. Are we going to go, Kevin?
Who's finishing it?
Madhouse is. If you read...
Who's finishing the directing?
Masao Maruyama, the head of Madhouse.
Okay, I know.
Did you ever read Satoshi Kon's farewell letter to the world?
No, I did not.
It's very sad because, you know, he died of pancreatic cancer. He was diagnosed, and he died within a few months of the diagnosis, because it's one of those cancers where once you've found it, it's over. It's already too late. And so he was talking to Masao Maruyama, and they were, you know, basically in tears talking to each other, and Masao said, I will finish this for you. I promise you that this will be done the way that you wanted it to be done. And, you know, and Satoshi Kon died satisfied with that promise. So, I have faith in Masao Maruyama finishing that movie. So, are we going to go next year?
Yeah, sure. They don't have a distributor yet, right?
I don't think they do. We can go to Japan. We could always just go to Japan and watch
that
movie.
How am I supposed to know what's going on?
Hey, you know, I haven't been to Japan. I would totally go.
And then we can go to Disneyland.
You can bring Lawrence.
I'll just whisper in your ear the translation. That'll be totally not obnoxious to the rest of the theater.
Dom the babblefish.
And now, that robot's talking to that robot about dreams.
And that robot's saying, don't put it inside just yet. Wait a while. Wait, what?
Wrong. That would be the other theater I'd take you to, Kevin.
I mean, it's...
Thanks, Kevin.
I was saying, it's actually, based on what little I've read about it, seems it's going to be a little bit different from his other movies in that it's going to be more of a family movie than previous movies were. It's supposed to be one of those. I mean, I guess this is sort of typical with animation because you have adults and kids watching it, one of those multiple level types of things.
Those usually tend to be the best ones.
It looks really bright, right? I've seen shots of it. There's like all sorts of colors. It doesn't look like a typical Satoshi Kon movie, right? I have seen the right screenshots, right?
Well, there are plenty of colorful shots.
Oh, and Paprika.
And Paprika, especially.
That's true. Yeah.
And another thing that helps the consistency of his movies is that his movies always had the same character designer. So it kind of detracts from it sometimes when you go, that face is the exact same face he's used for the past three movies. And now that he's working with robots, it's like, I don't recognize any of this. This looks totally different from everything else he's ever done.
Is the script completely finished for that movie?
The script was finished. The storyboards, I think, were mostly finished.
Oh, okay.
So now it's finishing work.
Oh, okay.
It better be, because they're in the middle of production.
Oh, yeah. All right, any last thoughts about the career and life of Satoshi Kon?
The interesting thing to me when you told me this story was that when I used to watch anime, Satoshi Kon was one of those names that could actually command a movie and you would say, okay, I'm going to go see it. That, along with maybe Miyazaki or even Katsuhiro Otomo. I got that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so when I did hear about it, I just thought, okay, there's one less name out there for actual animation films, but I didn't really think there was that much in terms of films for Japanese animation anymore anyways. So, in a way, it's not good to hear because it's just the door closing is a lot sooner than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember. Okay, I read someone commenting on it on Twitter, said something to the effect of, the fear is not that Japanese animation will never be the same without him, but that it will never be what it could have been without him.
Okay.
I just hope that through his work that someone will become inspired, not obviously to do the same exact thing he did, but just be inspired in general to push the envelope and not, make something that does try to cater to a mass appeal audience. You know, you need films like this to, round out, a filming experience.
Well, I thought it just kind of sucked because, like Kevin, I'm kind of jaded on the general market, and sometimes hearing a certain name is what it takes to watch a particular thing, rather than, oh, there's 20 different shows coming out this season, which one do I pick? Save all these for later, and then you just never actually watch anything. Whereas I actually have watched every Satoshi Kon film as they came out. And
now there's only one left.
Yeah, I won't be doing that anymore, apparently.
So my last thought is, the exact quote was, it's not that anime will never be the same, it's that anime will always be the same now.
Yeah,
and that's the sad thought. And, we all come out of a CAA background, an anime club, and the thought that...
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, everybody at the table, Cal Animage. And the fact that, only maybe two of us still watch anime because... And, there's no reason for us still to be watching anime, really. There's no justification for it. We just sort of still do it out of inertia, maybe. Some of us, the ones who still do. And
I still like it.
It's just that there's nothing to say. There's nothing to justify the hobby anymore, really. Before, you could tell people, hey, you liked Inception. Well, you can watch Paprika, and it's a lot of the same kind of thing, but done differently and very interestingly. And people would go, okay. And they would watch it, and without ever having watched a Japanese animated film before, they would go, that was interesting on its own merits, as opposed to, oh, I really like cute things, and therefore I liked this. And now that we've lost that, it's a very sad state of affairs where, I used to sort of watch the Japanese film wire to see when the next great movies were coming out, and I don't think that they'll be coming out anymore. All right, so that wraps up our... a little slightly somber but mostly silly Satoshi Kon podcast. You can find us online at s-words-podcast.com. For any feedback, you can send us feedback at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. You can find us on iTunes. Twitter, we are at @s_words, and by we, I mean me. Kevin is also on Twitter as twitter.com/heyitsdusty.
What? That's my dog. Seeing in which you begin to flame us for not mentioning Paranoia Agent, just go to twitter.com/s_words and flame that guy.
Yeah, I'll redirect it to @SuperUnker.
Yeah, we didn't mention Paranoia Agent.
Oh, well.
Yeah, okay. I hope you guys weren't fans of it.
Good night, everybody.
We mentioned it. Yeah, did you watch Paranoia Agent?
I did not.
I did. I should have said something.
I did.
What did you think about it?
I liked it. It's very...
Quit
it's
barking, Chris!
I mean, he wanted to hear the dog, but I'm not a dog.